Welcome back to Uprising. I'm Sonali Kohatkar. Award-winning political cartoonist and commentator Ted Rall is juggling multiple stories these days. There's the story of his own entanglements with the Los Angeles Times and how the LAPD convinced the paper to stop hiring him over a long-ago encounter with cops. And then there's the new book he's just published about Edward Snowden called Simply Snowden. Both stories are complex, but at least Snowden's is well known. The LAPD, LA Times kerfuffle has mostly been viewed through the lens of the Times itself and many gleeful right-wing websites. But in a nutshell, it all started in May of this year when Rall wrote in the LA Times about an encounter that he had had with the LAPD over 10 years ago where he was handcuffed and ticketed allegedly for jaywalking. He wrote that the officer in question roughed him up and passersby gathered yelling at the cop. The description of the encounter was in the context of a larger story he was writing of how LAPD aggressively targets people for jaywalking. But then a month ago, on July 28th, the Times effectively fired Rall, saying that the LAPD contacted them, gave them a copy of the audio recording of that event over 10 years ago to prove that Rall was lying. Editor Nicholas Goldberg wrote a somber note to readers declaring, quote, Rall's future work will not appear in the Times. Well, joining me now to dissect why the Los Angeles Times might cave into the LAPD is Ted Rall himself. Welcome to Uprising.
Thanks,
Ali. Well, the audio recording of the incident, which is at the heart of why the LA Times decided that you, as a freelance writer that they were hiring, wouldn't write for them anymore. This was, I guess, before the era of dash cams when cops had audio recordings. It was a very distorted piece of recording. The cop even starts whistling into the mic at one point. He sounds very lighthearted and casual, but there's not very much else you can glean from that tape. How did the LA Times conclude that you were lying and that the LAPD was telling the truth?
Well, it seemed pretty obvious from the very start that I was guilty until proven innocent in their minds. Honestly, I've talked to a lot of people, and I myself just can't figure out how anyone logically could listen to the original tape that was provided by the LAPD and really draw any sort of conclusion over what happened that night 14 years ago. I think it's important for your listeners to understand that after the LA Times fired me, and did not do any kind of due diligence regarding the tape, I did what they should have done. I took it to an audio enhancement company, and I had the tape enhanced. And in fact, I was able to get some more data off the tape, including voices of the people yelling at the police officer, demanding that I be freed of my handcuffs and insulting him and him interacting with them. And I contacted the Times with this new information that showed that I was telling the truth the entire time, but they chose to ignore that completely, and they did not address it at all for at least 3 weeks. So it's they just doubled down after they got back. So they're not talking. They're not answering any questions. The LA Times has shut down the comment section to their website. They're not answering reporters' phone calls. They are refusing to talk about their decision-making process, which did not involve the editorial board. They are not answering the question about who supplied them with the tape. In fact, whether it was the LAPD itself or whether it was the LAPPL, which is the police union down in LA, they won't answer questions about who received the tape at the LA Times. So they're not really acting like a newspaper. They're really acting more like a corporation that's refusing to answer questions after they know that they made a mistake and are possibly in a pre-litigation place.
Wow. Is that a threat?
It's not a threat. It's been a month since they did this, and I've been dragging my feet, hoping that they'll do the right thing. I mean, look, everybody who listens to this on the internet pretty much agrees that I'm right and that the LAPD was lying and that the LA Times made the wrong decision. Anyone who wants to listen to it should just go to either my website, which is rawl.com, or the website that I work for, anewdomain.net, which has been doing most of the reporting here, or you can go to The Guardian. They have some coverage on it too, and there's links there. Anyway, all the coverage, you can just go listen to the tape for yourself. You'll see my story has been been validated. Their story has not. The LAPD has been proven to be lying, and they are just, what am I supposed to do? These people have printed, the LA Times has printed a libelous and slanderous statement on their website and in the print edition of their newspapers, not once but twice, that they absolutely know are false, and they're continuing to stick to these their story. And they're hurting my ability to earn a living as a journalist. So if I have to pursue legal action, which I don't want to do because lawsuits are expensive and time-consuming and emotionally wrenching, I will obviously have to do that.
Well, Ted, you pointed out in your own writings of this whole controversy that you were freelancing for the LA Times. If they didn't want to run your columns anymore or your work anymore, they could have simply dropped you. But they made a very clear point to, write this, detailed note. And you're saying that they essentially set out to humiliate you.
Yeah, I mean, this is the nuclear option in journalism. I mean, just to put this into perspective, if I'd really had been lying, and most newspapers still would not have published something like this. Most newspapers would have just let you go. It was a first offense, not that big a deal. It's an opinion piece. It's a blog. It's not in the print edition. The standards are lower. And so given the fact that they didn't do any due diligence, they didn't have the tape authenticated, they didn't consider the fact that when the LAPD turns over evidence to about an anti-LAPD cartoonist, that maybe the editor needs to be a little more careful. What they printed was a burn notice. They didn't just want to fire me and get rid of those cartoons. They wanted to destroy my career. That's anybody who works in journalism will say that that was what they were trying to do.
Right. Certainly, there have been journalists who have done much worse than what the LA Times is claiming you've done and been treated less badly. But it's amazing that the LAPD would contact the LA Times on their own about an incident that you wrote that happened 14 years ago and take this, and take it to them. And there must have been some kind of pressure. Maybe it was strong pressure. Maybe it was not so strong, that we may never know. But the Los Angeles Police Protective League, the LAPPL that you pointed out, the union, at one point online claimed some sort of victory when you were let go. How likely is it that your critical drawing and your political cartoons and your writing of the LAPD has something to do with this?
Well, it's 100%. Let me put it this way. Let's say I was a total lying sack. And I'd been lying the entire time, and I did nothing but pro-LAPD cartoons. Do you think we'd be having this conversation today, Sonali? No, I would still be happily cranking out cartoons every week for the LA Times. So the only reason that they did this was because of the fact that I'm so critical of police violence and LAPD ineptitude and incompetence and militarization, and have been for 6 years and beyond. And in fact, the Pasadena Weekly recently, the editor of the Pasadena Weekly, whose name is Kevin Ulrich, recently wrote a piece in the current issue of Pasadena Weekly, which is available online, in which he talked about how Pasadena police repeatedly pressured him to fire me as their cartoonist when I was doing freelance cartoons for him, many times critical of Pasadena police. So there's a pattern here, and it should be noted that the LA Times and the LAPD have a virtually incestuous relationship that if most of their readers were aware of, they would find really frightening. That not only do the cops eat at the LA Times cafeteria, because the two buildings are side by side, but on top of that, there is a financial relationship between the two entities. The police union, which has an $18 billion pension fund, all invested in the same investment company, which is called Oak Tree Capital, based in Beverly Hills, is also related to the LA Times in that Oak Tree Capital is the number one shareholder of Tribune Publishing, which is the parent company of the LA Times and 19 other newspapers. So when the LA Times, when the LAPD, which also provides tips about celebrities and crimes to the LA Times, especially now that they've laid off so many reporters, they're more and more dependent on the cops. When the LAPD calls the LA Times, they're not just a very important, heavily militarized police force who gives them news. They're also the boss. They own the paper. And back in 2009, the same union publicly stated in the LA Times, of all places, that now that they were a principal shareholder at the time of the San Diego Union Tribune, they reserved the right to hire and fire members of the editorial board down in San Diego. So it stinks. It stinks. Something stinks in LA, and it's gross, and people really just haven't known about it. I mean, I didn't know about it. Nobody ever told me that I shouldn't criticize the LAPD. If they had, I wouldn't have. Nope. All they had to do was ask nicely.
Ted, let's talk about your new book, which is just out, just 2 days ago. It's called Snowden. I wish our interview could have been focused on just that and that you weren't dealing with this other stuff. Do you see, first of all, any parallels with what Snowden went through in seeing his name maligned and sort of at a micro level what you're going through?
Yeah, it's definitely on a micro level. I mean, obviously, I don't have to live in exile and I don't face life imprisonment. So I think I'm not an enemy of the state quite to that extent. But the parallel is about the interest in privacy. A lot of people in America feel that if they're not doing anything wrong, if they're not calling ISIS, they have nothing to worry about from state surveillance like of the NSA. Go ahead, listen to my phone calls. Go ahead, read my email, knock yourselves out. But if you look at it at a situation like my tape, I didn't know that I was being taped. That tape was manipulated by the police secretly. And there's a lot of evidence that the tape was edited or spliced. Certainly it was manipulated by the whistling that you described earlier into the microphone whenever someone was trying to talk. So, you know, the thing about evidence is that it can be changed and switched. So the NSA, for example, could target an American citizen and claim that they had evidence, but in fact that was falsified of wrongdoing. So that's the thing, is that it's not neutral. And I think that's one of the things that Snowden was trying to point out, is that privacy isn't important just to hide people's wrongdoing or embarrassing porn surfing habits, but rather privacy is an important civil right that every human being needs in order to be able to feel free in his or her mind and in his or her interactions with other people and organizations. It's a really big issue for our time, and it's funny, and it's a strange coincidence that the book is coming out at this exact time.
And Ted, you are no stranger to controversies. You've taken on a lot of issues in the career that you've had. One of the other controversies that you've been caught up in recent years has been your depiction of President Obama in your cartoon. Several people have pointed out that your drawings of him look very much like an ape. And I have to admit, when I first saw them, it looked very obviously monkey-like to me. One of my interns who helps out on the show and who was not familiar with your work initially was shocked when she saw your drawings of Obama. I know you've said that they're not racist, but I'd like you to explain why.
Well, I think when you mentioned the intern that wasn't familiar with my work, I think that's maybe the key phrase. Anybody who thinks that I draw Obama like an ape should just go look at the way that I've drawn previous presidents and other political figures, whether it's Donald Trump now or President Bush before, or President Clinton, and so on, or George H.W. Bush, which was the first president who I started doing in syndication. Look, human beings are apes. So if Bush looked like an ape, that's because we all look like apes. If I draw myself, I'm going to look a little ape-like. And frankly, I think, if anything, I've been very flattering of President Obama because he's a very handsome guy. So I tend to go easy on him in terms of his looks. And also, I am cognizant of the fact that he's our first ever African-American president. But, you know, at the same time, political cartooning is about caricature, and it's caricature is an important part of it. And I'm not going to change my overall drawing style, except to temper it a little bit, in allowance of the fact that he is our first black president, and there is a history of racist caricature in political cartooning that I try to eschew. But at the same time, I would expect that the president himself would say that he expects to be treated the same way that any white president would be treated by political satirists. And I think that I have certainly been more than fair to him in terms of the depiction of him in my work. And I would say that the controversy also is kind of interesting in that I was drawing him like that for the better part of 8 years before Daily Kos, the blog, suddenly noticed that I was drawing him like that.
I see. Well, I'll certainly encourage our audience to check out your work online, come to their own conclusions, check out also, of course, the controversy around the LA Times, LAPD, and your new book, Snowden, at your website. Can you give it out?
Sure, it's just rall.com, RALL.com.
Ted, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck.
Thank you, Sonali.
Ted Roll is an award-winning political cartoonist and commentator, and his earlier books include To Afghanistan and Back and Silk Road to Ruin. His latest book is just out a couple of days ago. It's called Snowden. Again, his website is rawl.com, R-A-L-L.com. We'll be right back after this break.